It's ice cold outside, but Gruber's ready to melt the microphone. Here's Steve.
All right, welcome to it on a Wednesday. Glad to have you back. The internet up for grabs still. The battle continues over internet freedom. Fred Campbell is the director of Tech Knowledge, a senior policy advisor with Wireless 2020, an adjunct professor in the Space, Cyber, and Telecommunications Law Program at the University of Nebraska. Professor, welcome back to the program.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right. I need to do this again because every time I like to do this because people seem to be confused about this because of the name, which I think was a big part of it. What is net neutrality? Please explain so people can understand it clearly and simply.
It's the idea that internet companies shouldn't discriminate when they pass traffic through the network, so they shouldn't block or otherwise do something for one company on the edge, you know, Netflix versus another, Hulu, if you will.
All right, what's wrong with that?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it in principle, and in fact, both sides of the aisle and most Americans support the idea.
All right. So, what is the concern here? Because when Ajit Pai decided to deep six net neutrality, of course, those on the left went bananas. Well, what's the rub?
Well, the problem is while everyone supports the basic principle, and in fact, the FCC under previous Republican administrations adopted these principles. The Democrats decided to apply the principles to one part of the internet, the ISPs, and exempt their allies in Silicon Valley that tend to support their campaigns.
Explain.
So, you know, when the Republicans applied the rules, they applied to consumers. You know, that a consumer had the ability to access the applications, websites they wanted to access without facing discrimination. Now, when under the Obama administration, the FCC adopted hard and fast rules that said that left consumers out of it and said ISPs, the last part of the internet, you know, your Verizon Wireless or your Comcast cable, can't discriminate. But, you know, Google with YouTube or its search can discriminate against conservative sites all at once, and it's no problem.
So basically, net neutrality to the left is we can block Steve Gruber's website because it's conservative, but we won't touch people that are liberal. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, it's biased toward liberal viewpoints on the internet. Exactly right.
Bias in favor of liberal viewpoints. So what would a real net neutrality bill look like? What would a real policy of net neutrality really be?
Well, real policy would adopt the principles and apply them across the board to every internet company. So if Google, for example, decided that when somebody searched for your website or your radio show that it just wouldn't show up on the first page, you know, you'd have a right to go in and question that and challenge that. And right now you don't.
So what we need, what you're saying, we need to adopt principles of equal treatment, period, across the board on the internet. But the truth of the matter is, I'll use my Verizon account as an example. On Verizon, I can get however many gigs of data I want a month, and I can pay extra if I want all that data to come fast. If I don't pay the extra, when I get toward the end of my data usage, it slows way down. The point being is they get to regulate me based on how much money I'm willing to pay. Why is that any different in the cable industry?
Well, you know, it's different than the cable industry because...
Or the internet industry, excuse me.
Or, yeah. You know, those bits, delivering those bits costs money.
And I understand that.
The reason you get charged more if you use more data.
Right, because, so why would that be any different on the internet? Why wouldn't companies that are providing, you know, ISP providers and so forth, why shouldn't they be able to charge for high-speed service? It costs them to build the infrastructure and so forth. Doesn't seem crazy. Doesn't mean you're preventing people from having access, but high-speed access costs more. It does when I have a gig plan on my phone. Why would that be any different in my laptop computer or my my television service or whatever it is?
Oh, right. Well, no, it shouldn't. It's always been, it's even been that way with public utilities for since time immemorial. If you use more electricity, you pay more money. If you use more water, you pay more money. If you ship something by railroad and it you know, only big companies tend to do that. But if you do, and the further it goes, or the more cars you use, the more money you pay. That's just ordinary.
I think electricity
economics
and water are two good examples, because most places that I know, the more water you use, the price per additional gallon of water and the price per additional kilowatt hour of electricity goes up the more you use. What's the difference?
Yeah, well, there is no difference. There's even caps on water in areas with limited amounts of water, and in the summertime, they'll cap the amount of water you can use, so you can't water your lawn. And they have reasons to do that, and ISPs, as I said, it does cost more money to deliver more data.
So when it gets to net neutrality, then equal access, but, you know, equal performance, I don't know if that's really possible, equal performance, because if somebody's willing to pay, like Amazon, for example, they have probably, tens of millions of users daily. And if Amazon wants to be the fastest, the biggest, the baddest, the best, it's probably going to cost them money to make that happen. That's the way the world works.
Well, not only is equal performance impossible, it's not desirable. Amazon's a great example. What they do if you become a Prime member is you no longer have to pay shipping on most things that you order from Amazon. Most consumers consider that a great thing.
Yeah.
Under the net neutrality rules the Obama administration adopted, that would be illegal. You know, the analogous activity would be illegal and was illegal for ISPs. So things that actually benefit consumers were considered bad by the Obama administration. But again, only if it was done by a certain subset of companies. The companies that tend to support Democratic campaigns in California were just fine.
They were, of course they were. Why wouldn't they be? So basically, a premium performance, premium service, premium opportunities, that won't be allowed because that's not equal, and therefore we have to be equal. That's what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, where are we now, and what's going to, because I see there's a big internet-wide day of action to save net neutrality, because are these people just unwilling to learn what the truth is about things? Can they not read? Can people, I mean, because who would disagree with this?
Well, you know, the left, there were groups on the left that did a very good job of sloganizing this. And
but why?
Saying, look, the only strong net neutrality is their version of net neutrality.
But why? Why are they, you know, of course, you know, the only idea, the only good idea is their idea. I've met people like that my entire life. So have you. But it's infuriating.
It's infuriating. And look, what they're trying to do now is, so the FCC, as you said, Chairman Ajit Pai, overturned the Obama-era rules, and he made it fair. He said the FTC is going to enforce this, and it's going to enforce it across the board for both ISPs and all the other companies on the Internet. Democrats don't like that, so they're using a little-known provision, the Congressional Review Act, which gives them the ability to try to overturn what the FCC is doing. So that's what they're rallying in support of. You know, the Dems are claiming it's a win-win because either they win on this CRA and the Obama-era rules are reinstated, or they'll claim Republicans are siding with telecom companies. But that latter part is not true.
Professor Fred, we got to leave it right there. Professor Fred Campbell from Nebraska, greatly appreciated, as always. Good education. We need that sometimes around here, Professor. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Back in a moment with Ron Rademacher here on the Steve Gerber Show.